Welcome to another episode of In the Pen, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network, a podcast about relievers. I'm Callan, joined as always by Rick Graham and Jay Crumpler. Guys, we're a month into this season, and I don't know if there's anything we can say confident about bullpens right now. Every week it seems like we're going to a new team, changing hands. We're going to do a whole segment today on closer we're worried about, but we're a month in. We talked a few weeks ago about stats when they start to stabilize, and a lot of things are starting to stabilize. So we're going to dive into some closers who we're worried about, see if we should be continue to be worried, see if we need to jump ship, or if we need to, as a certain new New York Jet quarterback says, R-E-L-A-X. That's how you spell it. Relax. Good. Glad I can do that right now. But guys, 1 month in season, how are we doing today?
Doing well. It's, you know, you're pretty much nailed it with it's been kind of a chaotic and hectic week, or I mean since our last podcast, which was last Monday. It's been a lot going on, and you know, this is about the time where you see some guys who you thought were going to be, you know, nice pickups early on in the season or might have some nice holds value, and then you know, two bad outings later, it's kind of like you forget about them. So this is kind of the make or break, you know, time, seeing when if guys are going to stick or not. So yeah, it's fun times, but always hectic.
Definitely. I feel like all the guys I took victory laps on in the first week have all now lost their jobs or pitched poorly for the past month. So it's not been super fun for me, but you know, it gives us a lot to discuss, and that's always a good thing.
It could be worse. You could be an Oakland A's fan.
Wait
a second. Oops. My bad. Yeah, it's not a fun
He's
time to
dead.
Be.
Don't hurt.
Hey, you moved to a new spouse, so there's some good things going on for you right now,
yes.
Jake. Especially
yes.
In we're talking about the staff league and you being undefeated. So there's some things going good for you. So I can't really say the same about that league. It's been a disaster for me. But speaking of disasters, we're gonna start off with some news, and we'll start with the injuries. And let's play the sad music. This was a sad day and in the pen. Our boy Pete Fairbanks has been placed on the 15-day IL with right forearm inflammation.
R.I.P.
Just R.I.P. Just a moment of silence, everybody.
Play the trumpets.
Yep. When we saw the news, there was definitely a moment of silence in our group chat and all that good stuff. But it seems like it's going to be a minor injury. It sounds like he will likely miss close to the minimum amount of times. It's unrelated to the issue he was having during the postseason last year. So that's some real good news. But you know, so as we sit here now with Tampa, so he's going to be missing about 2 weeks of the season. Who steps on in for saves? We've been talking all season about, is this Jason Adam? Just jump right in. Do other guys mix in? What's your current read on how a Tampa Bay changes based on this news?
It looks like Adam, based on today and this past week, there hasn't really been, you know, we think about Tampa Bay in the past, mixing and matching and using pretty much anyone in save situations. But so far, it doesn't feel that way. It was really Fairbanks' role until he got hurt. And now it feels like Adam might be the guy. And given Fairbanks' injury history and, you know, everything he's dealing with the Raynaud syndrome and the forearm issue, it's, you know, it's definitely worth picking Adam up in any league where he's available at this point. He struggled a little bit today, but he I think he got 3 strikeouts, ended up closing out the game. So he hasn't been as good as he was last year, but he's still a good reliever who's worth picking up.
Yeah, I love that the Rays are finally doing what we've been asking them to do for years. And of course, it was the year that we were all so pumped about Fairbanks. And then, of course, on top of that, he's just down for the count now. I'm sort of worried that this could be a precursor to Tommy John. Right forearm inflammation is usually that indicator for that. And I don't think Raynaud syndrome makes me feel any better about that. I think, do you guys remember how long Woodruff was out last year with that same issue?
It was a while. I can't remember exactly how long.
Yeah. So it's not great. And at least the Rays do have Adam. And like Rick said, definitely go grab him. I had him preemptively like 3 weeks ago in, I think it was TGFBI. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. But yeah, the fact that the Rays are going against their classic ways is pretty interesting, especially for fantasy, because it makes Adam like a clear top 15 reliever right away, because they, for some reason, have changed their minds about how they use their late back end of the bullpen relievers now.
And with Adam jumping into the closer's role, now that leads up to some relievers being the guys to get the ball to Adam. Let's face it, Tampa Bay Rays are record-wise the best team in baseball right now. So guys who are getting holds in the saves plus holds league for them are going to be pretty viable. Who steps into that role? Who's going to be the, is there anyone worth adding just for, you know, ratios and holds in Tampa? Or
see, that's, I was going to mention as part of the why Adam is like the sole closer potentially is the rest of this bullpen is not good. Like I don't really find anyone here interesting. Colin Poche, despite what his, you know, ERA might say, has been really bad this year, and he's just a guy who throws a 92.5 mile per hour fastball, and that's it. Kevin Kelly might be the other interesting guy, but he doesn't exactly blow hitters away himself. But he might be the second favorite guy in this bullpen right now with all the injuries. So, you know, Garrett Clevenger is another guy we talked about earlier before mm-hmm. the season, but he hasn't pitched well either. So he's been okay, but I don't know. It's not the best bullpen, despite what the ERA might say.
Yeah, it's weird how many low strikeout guys they have. I think of the Rays as like they're going to get guys that strike out a lot of guys and they can make up for the deficiencies elsewhere. So it's weird that like the majority of their bullpen is under 20% and a lot of it is under 15%. They did just acquire Javi Guerra. I'm sure we were going to touch on that. They traded for him from the Brewers. He was really struggling over there, but that's a guy that averages 98 miles per hour with his fastball. And we've talked about this offseason, how big of a part velocity can play in a reliever success. So that's got me sort of keeping an eye on him, especially because he used to be a Ray. He went to the Brewers. He struggled. Now he's back on the Rays, and they'll do their thing of turning him into an elite arm. But I think with Fairbanks out there and the rest of that bullpen not being too enticing, that's a guy that could probably sneak up and become a holds option.
Yes. Bottom line, Adam, Jason Adam, anywhere he's available. Holds guys, we're just monitoring at this point. Maybe Javi Guerra or Clevenger or someone steps up and can be someone you add, but no one else you're rushing really out to get in Tampa Bay. Move out west. Next guy on this list, Jose Quijada. He's having left elbow surgery. He's going to be out for the season, placed on the 15-day IL. He's someone who's been really mixing into the saves for the Angels, and for a little while I was interested in adding him because of the amount of saves he can get. Well, that clears the door right open for Carlos Estevez to stay as the number one closer. Anything else we can really read into this Angel situation, or just Estevez, and that's about it?
Yeah, it's going to be Estevez, but also keep an eye. I mean, if they want to keep going with the lefty-righty thing, Matt Moore's pitched really well so far for them, so I would imagine he's at least going to be or should be their top setup man, and potentially could work his way into some save situations against, you know, left-handed heavy lineups. But yeah, again, the rest of this bullpen after those two, they're still trying to figure some things out with, you know, Tapera and Loop haven't been great. And, you know, Chris Davinsky's back. Good to see that. He's got two games back, two holds already. So maybe they're just going to throw him right into the holds mix, because I mean, what other options do they really have right now?
Yeah, I think as much of a change as this has on Estevez's value in making him like a big saves guy now, I think Moore becomes equally as valuable in holds leagues because he's been so successful and is now like the clear setup guy and is the lefty counterpart to Estevez's right-handedness. But yeah, it's been nice to see Estevez sort of bounce back from that super shaky spring, as now he's striking out 32% of batters, which is well above his career rate of 24%. So he's definitely looking much stronger, and he's not like walking an exceptionally high amount of batters either. So he's looking like somewhat of an even improved pitcher, exactly what we wanted when he was leaving Coors. And that sort of bodes well for the Angels bullpen as long as he can stay healthy.
Yeah. You know what, we'll say our early victory laps, we've kind of been having to jump back on them. I jumped right off ship of Carlos Estevez, and I'm ready to jump back on and say I was right about Carlos Estevez. But he's looking a lot more like what we want him to be. So it's nice to see. I didn't fully get rid of all my shares of him. Thank you. Thank God, because I kind of need some saves in some leagues. So it's kind of worked out nicely. The final two injuries, we'll just lump in together. It's two left-handers for a team's bullpen. Brandon Hughes is on the 15-day IL with left knee inflammation, and Brooks Raley is going on the 15-day IL with left elbow inflammation. It doesn't have as much for fantasy viability, but I'll ask you too quickly. Anything of note with these injuries? Is there anybody who's, you know, keep an eye out in those pens because of that, or, you know, kind of monitor at this point?
Raley's, I mean, that hurts. The Mets now don't have any lefties in that bullpen, and it's really, you know, outside of Robertson, Ottavino, and Drew Smith, it's really thin there. So yeah, that's for a team that's struggling like the Mets right now, it's a bit of a concern. Hughes is good. That's a bummer because it's the knee. It's the knee injury again. Hope he just gets that right. He was pitching really well when he came back, and I thought, you know, if everything going on in that closer role, he might work his way back into it. But yeah, it's, you know, I don't know if we're going to get into that Cubs bullpen again, but I think Michael Fulmer is still the guy there to roster. So that's a tease for later. But yeah, Hughes is a bummer to be missing some more time here.
Yeah, you mentioned that without Raley, there's no lefties in the Mets bullpen. There's also no lefties in the Cubs bullpen now. So they seem like pretty similar bullpens in that regard. But yeah, I think Raley was actually not pitching super well, but he was getting a lot of holds. I think he was leading the National League when he got injured. So I think that pumps up the value of Smith a little, as he should see more of those late inning options that Raley was seeing. And then in Chicago, that bullpen, I don't know what's going on there. There's just so many options. Like, there's young guys, there's underrated guys, there's the old guys. I don't know which direction they're going to go right now. And they've had four losses from their bullpen across the past week. So I don't know if it's like a mismanagement thing, but they have a lot of talent there. I just have no idea what direction they're going to go in terms of saves.
Yeah. Move over to some transactions. See if these have any fantasy viability. Again, nothing too crazy. Some guys coming up and down or activated from the injured list. We'll start out in Oakland. The A's completely reworked their bullpen. Domingo Acevedo was activated from the 15-day IL and then DFA'd. And they also DFA'd Jerry Familia, option to Adam Oller and Chad Smith to the minors, and selected Spencer Patton, Austin Pruitt, and Rico Garcia from the minor leagues. If you're looking to any of these guys for fantasy viability, good luck to you. That's all I'm really going to say. We'll get to Jake. Is there anything much more to add to, as the resident Oakland A's fan, to any of these guys? Okay, good. We'll move right along then.
It's a shame to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer get option to the minors, though. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, I didn't think about that either. Nice one. Nick would be proud of us, probably. But Diego Castillo was actually, this is a pretty crazy one. He got up into the minor leagues for Seattle Mariners. Javi Guerra traded from the Milwaukee Brewers to the Tampa Bay Rays for a player to be named later. Chris Martin activated from the 15-day IL for the Boston Red Sox, along with Ryan Tepera activated for the Los Angeles Angels, both dealing with right shoulder inflammation. Alex Vesia, option in the minors for the Dodgers. That was a fun week where we thought he might work into the Dodgers closer position. Same with Jeremiah Estrada, who also thought he might work into the Cubs thing, closer situation. He got option in the minors. And Jake Diekman was DFA'd. Not too much fantasy viability, but do any of these moves really stand out to you guys? Does it increase the value of anybody, or is just moving right along?
I think, well, Martin should step into a setup role for the Red Sox. So in holds leagues, he definitely becomes a good holds league candidate. Other than that, I mean, it's kind of some big names or some interesting names, at least option to the minors. You know, Vesia, I was really high on entering the year. Estrada, obviously there's a lot of hype around him. And Diego Castillo, I mean, that's just like, who would have thought this like two years ago, it's almost like, I feel like the Rays need to go and like bring him back, because A, they could use help, and B, I mean, if anyone's going to turn around a reliever, it's probably the Rays. So I wonder if they could get Diego Castillo straightened out and pitching well again.
Yeah, he's like never had a bad year. I think he's just there's something wrong right now because he's not able to throw pitches for strikes. So that's been his big problem. But I think it's pretty interesting how willing teams are to not only DFA or option or remove from their major league teams veteran relievers that have shown the ability to be good for the last few years, but also the willingness to turn to young guys, young unproven guys in the bullpen. I don't know if they're sort of playing off the unfamiliarity factor or what, but it's been pretty interesting to see how often teams are willing to just be like, nah, that guy's not good anymore. Let's just bring up some random dude that's pitching in AAA and he should be just as good.
Yeah, it's crazy to see those names. Like you said, Diego Castillo being optioned is just something I didn't really have on my 2023 bingo card. Jeremiah Estrada, that was another fun week of his fantasy football. I'm sure he'll be back, and with how the Cubs close positions and changing hands, I'm not fully counting him out to eventually take that Cubs job, but he just couldn't get it going there. But it'll be interesting to see. I would agree, Chris Martin's someone that you should keep an eye on because the Red Sox don't really have anyone else who's been getting the ball to Kenley Jansen while he's been battling his own injury, but hasn't had any IL stint he's been required to go through. So this is part of the show where we'll go into the three up, three down. We're going to skip the down this week because we have a whole segment about closers who we're worried about based on things, or should we be worried about these guys? So we'll skip that. But we'll go to three up and highlight some guys who are a little rising up at this point. So Rick, we'll start with you. Who's someone who's moved up in your ranks over the past week?
I definitely am feeling better about Alexis Diaz right now. I know the Reds are going to be a hit or miss team, but even still, Diaz has been one of the better strikeout guys right now. He has a 55.3% K rate, and the walk rate still is under 8%, which is beautiful. Love to see that. And he's, you know, Stuff Plus has never been a big fan of his, and I don't think PLV is either, but he gets a ton of swings and misses with his stuff. And, you know, I just think there's no competition there either. So there's a lot of craziness going on, but I feel like Alexis Diaz is pretty much like he's the locked in guy in Cincinnati and definitely worth a top 10 rank in my opinion right now.
Yeah, definitely worth it. He's quietly been doing so, probably because he's on the Reds and they're not too great, and that keeps him from getting a lot of saves. But it's somewhat nice to have a reliever that you don't really think about, which usually means that you're not worrying about him, because rarely do you just have a reliever on your team doing really well and you're like, wow, I'm so glad. But he's striking out 55% of batters. That's crazy. He's looking exactly like how he did last year, and he's even more set in that closer role now. So I'd feel pretty confident about him on my fantasy teams if I had him on any of my fantasy teams.
100%. He's been really good. I know, like you said, the Red save opportunities are going to be sparse at best right now, but he's been very good. He's getting into ratios. He'll get his fair share of saves, and it's Cincinnati. There's zero competition. So if you're in a good spot with him, with all the struggles from these guys, he's quickly moving up. I know you currently have him inside your top 10 and probably will stay there at this point so long as he remains a Cincinnati Red throughout the season. But Jake, we'll move it over to you. Who's someone who you've gotten a more positive opinion about over the past week?
I think it's Jose Alvarado. He's just solidified himself to me as probably the best reliever in baseball, ? I feel like there's a bit of a debate there because you have to consider track record, but with the way he's going right now, there doesn't seem to be much argument. The biggest thing that held him back in previous years was always the control issues, which he always had trouble with until last year when he walked just 11% of batters. That was a massive improvement from his previous career. And at this point, he has yet to walk a single batter. He's got a 24-0 strikeout to walk rate, which is absolutely bonkers. 50% strikeout rate, zero walks. If he's a guy that now has plus command, or control, maybe not even command, just control, the ability to throw strikes, then I don't know how anybody's going to touch him. Right now, he's got a 2 ERA, but he's got a 0.36 xFIP, which bodes so well for the future. He's already almost up to 1 F4. And even if he's not getting all the saves in Philadelphia, this is a guy that's going to have some of the best ratios in all of baseball with a ton of strikeouts. And it's crazy what kind of monster the Phillies have turned Alvarado into.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, Kimbrel, for whatever reason, Kimbrel was getting the ninth inning the other day, and, you know, Max Muncy hit that grand slam off him, so doesn't help Kimbrel's, you know, shares there for holding on to any sort of, you know, part of that closer committee. So it should be Alvarado moving forward. The other, I mean, it's crazy what he's doing too. He's got a 348 BABIP and he's still, you know, 0.68 whip, and, you know, just still hasn't, he still hasn't walked anyone, which is just crazy when you think of Jose Alvarado not walking anyone a month into the season. That just, what real, what, you know, alternate universe are we in right now with that's happening?
A great one.
Yeah, that's one we can be very happy about. We've been wondering who, or wondered before the season, who the best reliever in that Phillies pen is. He's become far and away the clear guy, and it's been a lot of fun to see. I definitely didn't expect that we'd have a Philly inside the top 10 for your closer ranks in the first week of May of the season, but he's been far and away the best guy. And for me, my riser would be David Robertson. Yes, the Mets have not really been winning games lately, but when they have, David Robertson's been the clear guy they've gone to in the ninth. His last outing was the beginning of this month on Monday. He had a two-inning save where he struck out four. He's been great this season. 12 innings, he has 18 strikeouts. Just been untouchable. He's just been playing, pitching really well. I know Adam Ottavino has mixed in here and there, but he seems to be the guy that Buck Showalter trusts as the, you know, fireman, sort of get the ball to David Robertson. And seeing Robertson go for two innings the other day really cements him as, okay, he's got this full faith with him. And there's not too much more to add about that. David Robertson's been very good. And I know none of us expect the Mets to be a 500 team the rest of the way. They'll get back to being the Mets that we know they can be. And that'll lead to a lot more save opportunities for David Robertson. So I'm definitely rising up on him over the past week. I think he's over his time starting to pull away as the lead guy for saves when we thought Ottavino was going to mix in.
Yeah, and Ottavino, and again, like kind of like Kimbrel, Ottavino had a tough outing this week. So anything kind of keeping those two close. I mean, Robertson's just been absolute nails. It's crazy, you know, just throwing 91, 92 mile per hour cutters and just being so dominant. But I guess, you know, that's kind of, you know, I'm not comparing him, but, you know, more Mariano Rivera at the end of his career is kind of just, you know, if you have a good cutter, man, it just, you know, you can make it work.
You hear that, guys? David Robertson, no, the next Mariano Rivera.
Hey, he came up with Mo, so maybe he taught
exactly
him
too, exactly.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, so it's good for the Mets to get their guy, and nice to know that this committee is starting to clear itself away. But we'll take a break before we end, move on over to the guys we're worried about. We're gonna have a little segment. There's a lot of names that we're starting to have some question marks about, so we want to dive in a little deeper into the numbers, really let people know whether we should be worried about those guys. So all that and more here on In the Pen podcast. All right, let's jump into the guys who we are worried about. We've got a list about five or six guys who at this point, there's been some red flags, and we want to really try and either calm some people's worries or let them know whether they need to jump ship. So we'll go through these guys one by one. We'll start with you, Rick. Give me one guy who, you know, some red flags who, you know, fantasy managers are starting to get some concern about, and let us know what you think.
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it's Emmanuel Clase, who I believe, at least as of a day ago, is tied for the league lead in saves, but it's still concerning that, you know, out of the 30 closers on the list, he has the lowest strikeout rate, which is and it's the lowest by a good amount too, at 13.8%. That's like a middling, like, fifth starter. Like, I mean, there, it's crazy with his stuff that strikeout rate's that low. So, you know, that leads to his xFIP of 4.07, swinging strike rates below 10%. And the velocity concerns were always that they've been there since the beginning of the season. There's been some signs of him getting, you know, that velocity sneaking back up, but still it hasn't translated to any sort of, you know, swing and miss ability. And, you know, still for the season, he's down 2 miles per hour. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can regain anything, if he can start, you know, his slider has just not been the same. I think basically because the cutter isn't 100 miles per hour anymore. So working that slider off the cutter hasn't really been as effective as it has been in the past. So it's either he's either going to have to maybe think of a different approach, or I don't know. It just hope that the velocity comes back, because this could end up being a little bit dicey down the road if things stay the same.
Great points. Great points all around. It's definitely concerning that he's down a little bit on the velocity. I don't think there's really any concern about his role until he really starts blowing up. But there was like a string of 7 or 8 appearances where he just didn't strike anybody out. And he's at like 13.8% right now, which he was never a big strikeout guy before, but he wasn't below average. He was like 26% in 2021 and 28% in 2022. So nothing mind blowing, but still like very solid in the strikeout department. And now to be one of the worst strikeout rate pitchers among closers is pretty bad. So definitely concerning. I agree with your sentiments about his slider. The cutter is sort of getting the same results in terms of CSW, while the slider is like bad now. It was a 40% CSW pitch last year, and now it's 23%. So it's definitely fallen off hard. But yeah, I've been really concerned about him too. I have him in my home league, and while he has been getting me a lot of points with the saves, I definitely am missing the strikeouts, and it's not a plan of attack that usually turns into future success.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of red flags there. The XERA is up 0.6 points from his current ERA. FIP is at 3.79, XFIP at 4.10. Lowest CSW and swing strike rate of his career, lowest K percentage of his career at this point. Sure, regression might be coming, but yeah, I think there's a lot of red flags out there for Manuel Class A. But so scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're jumping ship, you're trading him. One, it's a Manuel Class A. You don't need to worry. Where would you kind of rank on in terms of how worried you'd be? I guess.
I'm not jumping ship or trying. I would try to trade him but I'm not trading. I'm not selling low on him because let's face it, wherever you drafted him, it's kind of, you have to ride or die with him at this point. Unless again, you can get some really good value for him. But yeah, it's not looking great. I'm hopeful he'll turn things around. I mean, Stuff Plus still like 146 is, you know, up right up there with the best relievers in the game. But yeah, that strikeout rate is just like, I mean, it's one out of qualified relievers. It's 195th out of 207. He's down there with Ty Block, Ryan Yarbrough.
Some of the best relievers in baseball.
Devin Smeltzer. I mean, yeah, Adam Simber. It's bad. So Jury's Familia has a higher K rate than him.
That's all you really need to know there. So worry about Manuel Class A, but you know, if you're going to sell him, still sell high on the name brand, but it's still a guy who has the job locked down. So, Jake, we'll move over to you. Who's the next guy you want to bring up as someone who's raised some red flags for you and that you're getting concerned about a month into the season?
We'll go back to old faithful Daniel Bard. been concerned about him all year in the offseason, and now he's returned from the IL stint that he had while he was dealing with anxiety, and he hasn't pitched poorly since he returned, but he hasn't gotten any saves. So I think that's sort of a big tell of sort of how they want to deploy him right now. I think part of that is because they don't want to put him into too high pressure situations until he really fully regains that confidence, which is probably a good idea. But also, he's not pitched too well. While he does have a perfect 0 ERA with 3 eggs there, he's got a 5.88 XFIP and an 8.71 XERA. So it's likely to turn around because he's not striking anybody out at all. He's got a 14% strikeout rate. So all of the concerns I had about him pitching in Coors at his age, with the skills possibly declining at his age in Coors, and now he's got the question marks about if he's going to be getting the saves or not. I think anybody that's still holding on to him, hoping that eventually he does regain the closer role, I feel like that's a bad idea, because Right now, you might be banking some zeros in the ERA department, but you're not getting any strikeouts. The whip is about to start biting him in the behind. And I think Pierce Johnson is just going to hold on to this role for the entire year, which is pretty crazy to think about. Not something that I thought. But yeah, right now he's got 100% left on base rate. Pretty nice there. 0% home run to fly ball. About as lucky as you can get.
Yeah, I mean, talking about, yeah, first of all, that xFIP, that 5.8 xFIP is worst among all the closers that were on the list this week. And then, yeah, as far as swing and misses go, I mean, he was second to last on the list with K percentage at 14.3, and his 4.8%, you know, K to walk rate is just far and away the worst of all closers. And there's four closers right now that have a K to walk rate under 10%, and it's Daniel Bard, Emmanuel Clase, Brad Boxberger, and Kyle Finnegan. So outside of Clase, obviously being kind of the outlier there, that's not a great group. Not a group you want to be in. Velocity is still down 3 miles per hour. They're keeping him away from the closer situation, so the save situation. So I think this is a full, unless you're in a really deep play. If you're, I don't even know in 16 teamers if it's worth rostering Bard still. NL only, you probably hold on for a little while longer. But I mean, outside of that, it's. I think I'm out completely here.
It has not been pretty. I mean, we've all thought that he would come in and at least take the job, and I wouldn't say run with it, but be the guy, because there isn't too much there in Colorado, but he has not gone off to a great start. Everything you say there, I would completely be on board there. I'll probably still stash him because it is a guy who can rely on for saves when he does get the job, and I think I'm not going to trust that Pierce Johnson's going to keep this up and maintain the job, but it's not looking that great for it right now. So I'll stash him in deeper leagues, but 10, 12 team leagues, yeah, you're perfectly good to cut him. Just move on and go pick up another flavor of the week, like an Adam or a, you know, someone else we may mention down the road. So I guess that sort of transitions into my sort of guy I'm worried about. I'll be the homer and pick the New York Yankee, and maybe you guys can calm my fears, but I'm fully getting out on Clay Holmes. Just watching him these past few outings, especially this Cleveland series, he appeared in two games and they're tie games, and he blew them both. Now, on Wednesday, it was kind of some dink and dunks, one blooper, Isaiah Fleffa maybe could have caught if he was a natural left fielder. There was a bloop that Fleffa and Beta ran into each other. So I'm not sure I fully can blame him on that. But the other day was just a mess. He also has the lowest swinging strike rate of his career since 2019, since he became a New York Yankee. Lowest CSW since his 2018 rookie year. He only pitched in 11 games. Things are not looking good, and you're starting to see them pull it. I mean, let's face it, on Wednesday, instead of when he blew a save, only threw six pitches, they went right to Albert Abreu in the 10th inning against kind of a meatier part of this Cleveland's order. So even Aaron Boone's starting to lose faith, and we're seeing the reports that the Yankees are starting to stretch Michael King out more to where he can pitch more short rests and short spurts. That might set him up to be the replacement, but if you have Clay Holmes, I think it's time to fully jump ship outside of obviously deep leagues. I think he can still hold it, but same thing with Daniel Bard. If you have him in a 10-12 team league, I'm ready to jump ship on Clay Holmes. I'm ready to drop him. Am I crazy to be saying that, or are you guys on board with that?
Yeah, it might be time. It's frustrating because I thought there would still be some sort of bounce back here from him. I mean, the slider's still getting whiffs, but him, it's just, yeah, his strikeout ability has just like just been non-existent since the second half of last year. He's still getting ground balls at a good rate if you want to look at a positive, but the problem is that he's allowing hard contact, so it's a lot of hard contact on those. And now, you know, take into account that we can't shift guys, so those ground balls are starting to see, you know, the outfield more. And it's Michael King's just been so much better this year, and it hurts the Yankees because you take King away from like a role that he really was great in that kind of multi-inning fireman role. But I think you have to. You know, I think you have to start looking at King as the closer there. And that bullpen is what I thought was going to potentially be a strength to start the season is starting to become very sketchy, with especially, you know, Trevino out for the year. We're not sure when Conley or Loaizaga are going to be back. So they, you know, Jimmy Cordero's been a pretty nice addition kind of out of nowhere. Outside of that, it's, you know, they might have to go look for outside help.
Yeah, flashbacks to last year of every single person in that bullpen getting injured. But yeah, I was going to say the same thing about the shift and him being such a ground ball reliant pitcher that it's likely starting to bite him a little bit more than it did in the past. Also, it's not like he's allowing more hard contact than he did in previous years. He was like a 28% last year and he's 27% this year. So it's basically the same. His BABIP is way up, but that's likely it's going to come down a little, but it's likely a product of all those ground balls. And he's not really the ground ball standout that he used to be. Like, he used to be just the singular outlier that was like, how is he getting that many ground balls? It's like a historic like rate.
80%, and now, yeah, 80% yeah, last year.
Yeah, so it was like historic rates of ground balls, and now he's like 65, still really good. Yeah, he's still really good, but he's not anything crazy. He's in the 88th percentile. So it's like still very good, but it's not like, oh my gosh, who do you think of when you think of ground balls? Clay Holmes is the first name to come up. And yeah, I mean, he's turning to his slider more, which is interesting. Hopefully, I think that's probably because he's trying to get more swinging strikes, but that pitch isn't like a huge swinging strike pitch. So I don't know. I think if I had him in one of my leagues, I would probably be holding on for a little bit longer just because it's so hard to find saves on the wire. But yeah, it's definitely getting to that point where I'm starting to consider, dang, like, I really wasted a pick on this guy. It might be time to cut bait before things get worse.
I think a good question is, if you have Michael King on the wire and you have to drop Holmes to pick him up, do you do that? I think someone said that in our Discord today, and it like kind of, I had to think about it because it's a tough one to me because we've seen what Holmes can do, and you know, I don't know if they're going to just fully turn the thing over to King, but I think I would go King over Holmes right now.
I think I would too. It just sounds same. Like that's how Boone's going. We saw him last year do it with Aroldis Chapman. For one thing, with Aaron Boone, it does take him a little bit to make the change, but when it's so many consecutive poor outings, like it seems to have been with Clay Holmes, and now all the rumors are how we're going to be using King moving forward, it's probably time. And so if Michael King's out there in your leagues, I would put him right up there with how we were talking about Jason Adam. I would rank Adam ahead of him, but if you can stash Michael King at this point, I think he's very close to a must-add, if not a must-add completely at this point. So we'll go back to you, Rick. We have about two or three more guys we want to bring up. Who's another guy who's got you concerned at this point in the season?
This is a little bit more, I mean, I'm concerned but not totally worried, and that's Kenley Jansen, just because I worried about age and his health history and just, you know, everything kind of catching up to him at this point, and he's battling and just labor, you know, I was at the Red Sox game on Saturday and just watching him in between pitches laboring, and just like you could tell, you know, he just looked like a boxer who went like, you know, 9 rounds. It's like, this shouldn't be happening in April or in May. So, I'm, you know, little concerned there. It's not that he hasn't pitched well. He's been fine. It's nice to see the walk rate down for him. And that's not like the Red Sox are going to keep rolling as long as he's healthy and able to pitch. They're going to keep rolling him out there because that's what they've paid him to do. And they don't have many, you know, alternatives right now. So, you know, strikeout rate's still there. But yeah, I don't think I would be expecting, I think there's going to be some bumps, and I think it's going to be kind of a messy, it's going to be it could be a frustrating season with, you know, him being missing like he's missed almost, you know, six days so far, 5 days this week. You know, I think we're going to see a lot of that kind of this year with them trying to manage his innings at his age and with his health concerns.
Yeah, I think it's a, I wouldn't have too much more to add about that. If you are concerned at the injury, I know he's made his way back, but it's still something he's battling. If it becomes more of an issue, is there someone in Boston you'd like as the quote unquote next man up, or is there you'd see more at this point?
Man, I mean, they have like a group of pretty, you know, of decent relievers that I don't love any one of them in the closer role. As Schreiber hasn't been as good this year. You know, Chris Martin, now that he's back, maybe. But again, you're talking about another guy who's in his late 30s with, you know, just coming off an injury. Man, it's really like Josh Winkowski's been, they've been relying on him, but he's like, I think I put this in the hold up today. He's like the Toby of like relievers, where it's just like everything is, doesn't do anything bad, doesn't do anything great. It's just, you know, steady okayness and nothing really worth chasing, in my opinion. So I think it's, you know, it's Jansen or, you know, nothing else here. If you have, I mean, the, I wouldn't drop Jansen. I would just maybe, if someone in your league is desperate for saves and thinks that Jansen's the answer, maybe it's time to shop him around a little bit. But I'm not saying he's going to break down. I just feel like there's a little bit of concern for, you know, kind of where things are going with him right now.
Yeah, the concern level's low, but it's like bubbling right now. Like you could see how it could go bad. And I think that the big thing that sort of keeps it low is that he's had good results and the underlying metrics are there, and the rest of the bullpen isn't great. So there's not really anybody you could really envision just stealing that closer role from him. So even if he's only getting saves like once or twice a week, because that's all his body can handle, then, you know, that's something that you have to deal with. But I think he's going to be better than most relievers as long as he can stay on the field and avoid, you know, the pitfalls of being an old guy.
I think another thing too with him is, and you see, if you look at it, well, his velocity is up, and it is from last year. But at this point, I remember in April of last year talking about how Kenley Jansen was like sitting around 94, 95. And then things kind of, you know, came back down to life as the season progressed. So just something to keep in mind. I don't think, you know, it's his cutter right now is averaging 94.7 miles per hour. I don't think that's going to stay. It's probably going to come back down to like 92, 93. So see how that plays in. And, you know, pitching in the AL East now too, that's that could become an issue. But again, it's more speculation than like saying he's an absolute, you know, assured you know, meltdown here. But it's just something to keep an eye on. Like you said, it's like bubbling more than actually panic mode right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just want to keep everybody prepared.
Absolutely. Let's wrap this up with one final guy who you drafted inside of the top 10 in terms of reliever. Jake, tell us why we shouldn't be worried about Ryan Helsley if his slower starts the season.
Well, I think the big thing for him is that he's been struggling to keep runners off base, whether or not that's a product of good or bad luck. It's hard to determine at this point, as he's got like a 370 BABIP and, you know, he's not having he's not doing a great job of limiting the free passes as well. So he's not as dominant as he was last year, but, you know, the velocity is still there. He's still getting a pretty solid amount of strikeouts and he does a good job of getting swinging strikes. But I think this sort of has somewhat of the same vibe as Jansen, where you're sort of worried about his usage, not really in terms of, oh, he's going to get injured or he's old, but the Cardinals sort of baby him. If he pitches on back-to-back days, he doesn't pitch for the next 3 days. They really like to avoid pitching on back-to-back days. He's not really going to go multiple innings. They're very careful with his arm because they don't want him to get injured and they want to have him for the whole year. Additionally, the Cardinals have been sort of bad this year, so it's not like he's had too many save opportunities. And then on top of that, the cherry on top is that Giovanni Gallegos is very solid and it will probably steal saves every once in a while, maybe more than every once in a while. So that sort of limits the ceiling of Helsley in terms of how many saves he can get. And if he's not pitching to the standards that he set last year, it means that he's not like a top five guy in terms of ability. And that definitely takes a lot of the shine off of him. So there's concerns. This is not a guy I would go dropping. I think even if he's, you know, the second man in that bullpen or is 50-50 with Gallegos, I think he's still worth the hold in the majority of leagues, maybe not 10 teamers. But yeah, I mean, I think the concern is that he might not be a top 10 guy. He might just be, you know, outside of the top 10, which is fine. Like he dropped out of the top 10 in Rick's most recent rankings, but it's definitely somewhat concerning. And if you have guys in your league that still see him as that top 10 guy because they see that he's throwing 100 miles per hour and is the gets the majority of saves in St. Louis, maybe you could find an upgrade in elsewhere in your closer's role.
Yeah, I think, you know, and last night we saw maybe the Cardinals were thinking about making a switch there. They had Helsley work the eighth when he got the hold, and then Gallegos came in the ninth and blew the save and earned a loss. So maybe that was a short, you know, a quick switch that's not going to last because of the results. But you can tell the Cardinals are in full on panic mode right now, trying anything to whatever changes they need to make to get things going. Cause right now they're the worst team in the National League. So, wouldn't be surprised, you know, to see other changes in that bullpen. And, you know, I think Helsley is going to be okay. It's just, what's the role going to be? What's his usage going to be? And, you know, definitely needs to bring the walk rate down to get back into that top two or three tiers. And, you know, other than that, I think, you know, the velocity is fine. Still missing bats. Not at the rate of last year, but still at a pretty good rate. So concerns very minimal, but again, it's like a little bit of a bubbling, and based on the fact that Gallegos was, you know, in the closer role last night with Helsley pitching the eighth, does feel like the Cardinals are, you know, willing to make some sort of move like that if they need, if you know, whatever it takes to get that team going again.
Speaking of making moves, we're going to take another quick break. When we get back, we're going to dive into a few bullpens that have seemed to make some sort of a closer moves, or at the very least are getting very close to it. So we'll break down a few more teams, a little more, and dive and take a look at what we're looking forward to over the next week when we get back on In the Pen. All right, let's quickly go through a couple teams who have changed hands or in the process of you know, becoming more of a committee or trying to make sense of some of these more confusing bullpens. Two of them we had on the list we've kind of talked about is the Yankees and the Rays. We know that Jason Adams is likely to be the guy for the Rays. And the Yankees, it's still Clay Holmes, but it's getting very, very close to Michael King. So just keep an eye on for those guys. But real quick, we'll wrap fire through about three or four more bullpens. We'll start off with our old favorite preseason darling, Ronaldo Lopez. After that amazing opening day when we gushed over him, he has not looked the same. We got news that Liam Hendricks is going to be starting a rehab assignment very soon, and we'll probably need, I think it was 4 to 5 outings before he is back with the White Sox. So if I'm putting a timetable, and I'd expect probably around the end of this month, we could see Liam Hendricks back with the Chicago White Sox. So at this point, what's your read in the White Sox pen? Is it still Ronaldo Lopez? Are they changing hands to somebody else, or what's going on out there?
Yeah, I'm not... Dang, you know, I'm probably not going to chase anyone here and just going to wait until Liam Hendricks comes back. But Keenan Middleton has been really, really good for them. Kind of what we were hoping Ronaldo Lopez would be with the, you know, 42.5% strikeout rate and ERA under 3. Yeah, he got the save the other night and could be probably is the favorite for saves for the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. So I guess if you're in deeper leagues or you just want to catch up on some saves, he could make sense for the next 3 weeks, but don't go dropping anyone who, you know, has long-term value just to add a couple, you know, saves for, you know, a team like the White Sox who aren't exactly, again, another team who's struggling to find a way to win games. So it could only be 2 or 3 saves left for Middleton here.
Yeah, so disappointing how far the mighty have fallen. I was feeling so good when Ronaldo was coming out throwing 100 on opening day, and now we're at the point where his ERA is over 9 now. I think he gave up a home run today, so yeah, nah, not great. But, you know, I think we were on it. We were close, but that doesn't count in fantasy. Yeah, Keenan Middleton's looked great. I think Rick sort of hit all the points there where it's just don't go crazy right now because you're only going to get a guy for 3 weeks, which is fine. That can still be valuable in certain leagues, but it's not something to lose your mind about, like, oh my gosh, this guy is going to be the closer. And then Hendricks is back and you're like, oh shoot, I forgot he was coming back. Yeah, I think Middleton's the guy. I think Gregory Santos is probably somebody to keep an eye on. He's got some of the best velocity in all of baseball, averages over 99 miles per hour on his sinker. So that's very appealing. Definitely has some Brusdar Graterol vibes in that he doesn't strike out a lot of guys, but that's somebody that's somewhat interesting, mostly because of the velocity and because of the fact that this bullpen is not super stacked at this moment. It's sort of all over the place. So yeah, definitely Gregory Santos, Keenan Milton. Don't go crazy.
Yeah, I was just going to quickly, like, this bullpen is so disappointing between Ronaldo Lopez, Kendall Graveman, and Aaron Bummer. It's those three I thought would be like a legitimate, like, you know, back end group, and all three have been disappointing. So,
well, maybe they just need Hendricks back there and they'll feel more comfortable not having to worry about who's going to get the saves.
Could be. Yeah.
Or maybe they just miss Tony.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, let's see. It's not been a good team, so saves been few and far between. And just like we all predicted, it's May 4th as recording this, and Kenyon Middleton is who we're recommending if you want to get a save or two before Liam Hendricks gets back. Just exactly what we expected to be going out in Chicago. But we'll stay out in Chicago, and we'll head over to you, Jake, your favorite preseason darling, Michael Fulmer. It's been shaky for a little bit lately. That's bullpen we've talked a lot about go throughout the season. So what's your current read out there? Is Fulmer still the guy? Is Boxberger now back in there? What's your read for the Cubs?
Yeah, I touched on this at the opening of the show with Brandon Hughes going on the IL, that there's so much talent here. They just need to figure out what the heck they're doing. So I don't know. I think Boxberger got a late inning game today, and I think he gave up a home run, which is not great. And Fulmer is really, it's hard to tell if Fulmer was bad throughout the season or if he just had that one bad series against the Dodgers. So that's something to watch. I think his stuff is definitely improved from previous years, which is nice, but could say the same about Reynaldo, and we all know how that's been going. But there's just so many options in this bullpen that, you know, I don't really want to chase something until there's a better idea. I think Adbert Azalea should be the closer. I think he's probably like closer of the future. He's got strikeout stuff. He's been pitching well. But there's just so many options here. They've been turning to Michael Rucker late in games for some reason. And I think Mark Leiter Jr. is like the best strikeout arm in that bullpen. So they got so many options. There's no like handedness thing that sort of helps you decide there. But yeah, I mean, I dropped Fulmer in all my leagues. So I don't even have him anymore just because it was really a headache and he just kept blowing up and they weren't even using him as like a traditional closer either, which was annoying. So I've been stashing Azalea in multiple places. So that's who I'm banking on right now, but I really don't have any confidence. And I think it's all rooted in how the manager is using this bullpen.
I think I kind of mentioned it earlier. I think I'm buying back in on Michael Fulmer here because Brad Boxberger, it's not going to be Brad Boxberger for long. He is not good. He doesn't need to be rostered pretty much anywhere unless, again, you're desperate for saves for this week or next. So I think it's either Fulmer's been pitching really well lately since he kind of lost that role. And then, yeah, like you said, there's, you know, Leiter and Azalea are the other two guys to kind of keep an eye on here. Azalea's had a couple rough patches over the past couple weeks, but still everything still looks pretty good there. And with Leiter, maybe Leiter's the next guy, but again I kind of think in a weird way, even though he's right-handed, he's kind of their best left-handed reliever, so I don't know what if they would want to take him out of a setup role or middle relief role. And yeah, it really leaves a bunch of, you know, the rest of that bullpen is good, but nothing that I would consider, you know, I think Fulmer might deserve another shot before they turn anywhere else because, you know, it was a rough, what was it? It was like a 2-game stretch for Fulmer, really, maybe a 3-game stretch where it was just like, you know, it got really bad there for a second, but yeah, it was really 2 games. I think that he deserves another chance because Boxberger blew a save today. It's going to happen more and more often if they keep throwing the ball to him in the ninth. So Yeah, I think I'm back in on Fulmer as someone who is available in a lot of leagues right now. And, you know, the underlying metrics for him aren't terrible. So I'm not as concerned as I would be considering the 6.57 ERA.
We'll wrap up the committee updates. We talked about Colorado and where we stood, and we were worried about Daniel Bard. So we'll wrap it up with Texas. Bruce Bochy has come out and confirmed that Will Smith is going to be leading the Rangers in save. I think the majority of the save opportunities going forward. So what does that do for you with, obviously that makes Will Smith must add if he's still out there. What does that do for you guys with Jose Leclerc? Are you dropping him? Do you think he'll end up getting this job back? Or what's your read on Texas moving forward?
Leclerc's been horrible too. It's sad to see, but something's not right there. I thought he came back last year, and usually it's the first year back from Tommy John where it's a bit of a struggle, but he was good last year in the second half, and now it's just all falling apart for him, and his control is a mess. So he's definitely worth dropping pretty much anywhere at this point. And I don't necessarily think Will Smith's a must add. If you're in leagues where every closer's rostered, then sure. But I don't think Will Smith's very good. 4.79 xFIP right now, 19.5% K to walk rate's not great, 20% ground ball rate. I mean, a lot of fly balls. You know, swing and strike rate's only at 12%. It's 30% CSW, nothing that blows you away. And, you know, Will Smith, his fastball's so hittable. It's going to be, when he faces three righties in a row, there could be some issues there.
Yeah, you hit all the points there. I think it's pretty crazy how early we recognize that Smith might be getting saves there. Because as soon as he got signed, we were just like, well, Bruce Bochy's the manager and they do have a history. So could see Will Smith being the closer. And I definitely had some skepticism about that. But right now, yeah, he's clearly the closer. I think they have enough lefties in there to accommodate that. But yeah, I think you mentioned all the points about how his underlying metrics aren't great. And honestly, if you really want to stash somebody here, I would say probably Jonathan Hernandez. He's been pitching really well. He was like a big hype guy when he was first coming up in the league. And I think he's somebody that could be the closer of the future. Whether or not that future is this year, hard to tell right now, but definitely could be a guy by the second half that's getting the majority of the saves in Texas.
It's a good name to monitor. It was someone I hadn't really thought about in that bullpen. So we'll keep an eye on that going forward. But, you know, I guess, you know, while Smith is getting the save opportunities, don't fully get rid of your clerk stat shares. As Rick pointed out, some good underlying concerns for Will Smith. And, you know, maybe he won't hold on to this job for too long. So that's going to do it for this portion. We're going to wrap up with another edition of Who's That Closer? Jake, we'll take it away. Let's see if we can continue having some success in this game.
Yeah, let's go. Good luck, my friends. Hold off on answering until let me know when you know who it is, and then I'll finish up all the hints so that the listeners can have their opportunity to guess. But this closer was drafted by the Mariners in the 20th round of the 1979 draft out of Texas State University. He did not sign, and he was drafted two more times the next year by the Cubs in the January 1980 draft in the 24th overall in the first round out of that same college. And then he switched colleges and was drafted in the fourth round by the Rangers in the June 1980 draft. This closer, a right-handed pitcher, debuted in September of 1982 and was nicknamed the Terminator. Any ideas?
Rick Vaughn.
No.
I'm older than you guys, and this is a little bit, you know, out of this is growing. I mean, 82. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so this closer pitched for three teams, obviously Texas, who he debuted with, then Toronto, which Little spoiler, that's what he's most known. That's the team he's most recognized for pitching for. And then he closed out his career in St. Louis, I think, for like 2 or 3 years. His accolades include 2 All-Star appearances, a 1992 World Series championship ring. He was a one-time AL Reliever of the Year award, and he also finished 7th in Rookie of the Year voting in 85, as well as 20th in AL MVP voting that year, 13th in AL MVP voting in 87, and 22nd in NL MVP voting in his final year in 1995. Do we know who it is?
I don't know the name, but I know I can picture. I can't get the name.
Yeah, he's definitely a recognizable guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I hear it, I'll be like, oh, but yeah, I'm kind of blanking right now again.
All right. Well, last hints we got is Black Ink includes leading Major League Baseball with 62 games finished in the American League with 34 saves in 1987. And he's 26th all time with 311 career saves, and he has a 2.67 career ERA. I think he really could have like climbed up that all time saves leaderboard, because I think in his final year he had like 37 saves or something. So he really abruptly ended his career, and he could have been, you know, top 15 all time. But yeah, pretty crazy. Any final guesses before I try to come up with another hint?
I don't have anything. I don't.
Yeah. 90s is a tough one for me. I wasn't even alive then. So I mean, I forgot my baseball history facts, which usually is okay, but this one's.
Yeah. He's in MLB The Show. I don't know if that helps at all. I think his signature pitch was a forkball splitter. He's 6'5", so he's a tall guy. And he wore number 50. No?
I got nothing. You want to hear it? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, spill it.
It is Tom Henke.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah. Know the name.
Yeah.
Know the name.
Is that the guy you were picturing?
Let me see. I'm going to look this up.
Yeah, I know the name, but...
Yeah, with the glasses. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not a name I've thought of in very recent memory. So,
well, you guys need to touch up on your historical closers, because we're supposed to know this stuff.
I need closer from 1990, like 6 or 7 on, is fine. We gotta keep this thing in.
Yeah. And you're saying that because he retired in 95.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
They don't call.
All right, better luck next time.
They don't call him the bullpen whisperer for nothing. But before we wrap up, do either of you guys have anything you're working on, you want to plug some work? I know Rick, you're always putting out those ranks. Anything else going on the site you guys want to let our listeners know about?
Nothing new. No, not really. Excited for the pitcherless meetup this Friday. But other than that, yeah, just grinding away with these ranks.
Yeah, I do the First Pitch podcast every weekend, so those are definitely worth the listen. I do reliever ranks articles as well, and I just put out a gift breakdown of Gavin Stone's major league debut. As much as it pained me to write about a Dodgers player, it was okay because he didn't do too well. So if you're interested in that, go check that out. We also have one for Brandon Pfaadt, and it's been a pretty exciting time for young starters making their debuts this past month. So that's been those have been fun to write.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. I have nothing really else more to plug outside of just continue to keep reading the stuff. There's a lot of good articles coming out, a lot of good bullpen reports, ranks, daily articles in terms of relievers. So definitely take advantage, as we touched throughout this episode. There's a lot going on in bullpens right now. There's a lot of mixing and matching and swapping of relievers, so you want to stay up to date, because saves have been a little bit more difficult to come by at the beginning of a season, so we want to make sure you're on top of that. But thanks for tuning into this episode of In the Pen. Keep an eye out for these upcoming moves and the upcoming the swaps, and see how those guys go. But we'll tune in next week. We'll dive into some of those changes and see how they go. So I'm Callan, joined as always with Rick and Jake. As always, thanks for tuning in to In the Pen.